Harper Audio presents Tempestuous, written and performed by Leslie Livingston. Friday, April 9th, present day. The antique black carriage sped through the night, its tall spoked wheels whirring, skimming the surface of the river as though the spectral horse that pulled it followed a paved track. In the distance, along the banks, the city lights shimmered, but there, in the middle of the river's wide expanse, all was darkness. As the carriage approached the black, hunched shape of an island, it picked up even more speed, thundering through the crumbling arch of the abandoned coal dock like it was a gateway to another realm. The finger of a smokestack thrust up into the sky above the treetops, crowned with a nest of birds that took sudden flight as the carriage horse's hooves clattered along the remnants of the pier and onto an overgrown avenue. Fallen leaves left over from the previous autumn danced in the wake of the passing carriage. The driver hauled on the reins, pulling the horse to a stop in front of the gaping doorway of a moldering stone building. Years of neglect had left the surrounding foliage free to grow thick and lush, climbing up the walls almost to the roof. The profusion of vines and moss had softened the building's contours, but was unable to disguise the elegant lines of its original design. As the driver's feet touched the ground, a wave of iridescent illumination washed outward from the carriage, transforming the abandoned building, altering its rough appearance like a mirage. By the time the driver had thrown open the carriage doors, there were several cloaked figures standing by to receive the occupant of the coach. The only surviving son of the Green Man lay on the velvet bench seat like a broken toy that had been thrown against a wall. His limbs were splayed at odd angles. Greenish bloodstains marked the skin at the corners of his mouth. There was a dark scorch mark in the shape of a four-leaf clover at the base of his throat, and he looked to be barely breathing. The driver nodded curtly at him. "Bring him inside." As two of the attendants moved toward the coach, the driver turned to the stone edifice and the steps leading up to it, which now appeared smooth and gleaming like marble in the light that spilled from the windows on either side of the open, carved oak doors. The shadowy figures lifted the unresponsive body and carried it through into the hall. Sounds of merriment and feasting came from within, and the scent of flowers was heavy in the air, seductive and beckoning. But before ascending the steps, the carriage driver looked up into the night sky and said, in a voice like a whispered death sentence, "Find the green magic, and bring me the one who bears its burden." The dark air filled with darker shadows as the remaining cloaked figures swirled into a frenzy of action. Throwing back their cloaks, they shed the smoke-like bodies hidden beneath and grew wings. Dark feathers coalesced out of the fabric of the night, and a flock of screeching, red-eyed herons took to the air. Chapter 1. The crowd of onlookers had largely dissipated once the New York City Fire Department had finally gotten the blaze under control, though the entire block remained cordoned off with yellow police tape and the gutters ran full with soot-blackened water. Fortunately, the structure had been standalone, unlike most of the surrounding shops and apartment buildings, and so the damage had been confined to the Avalon Grand Theater. Damage being wholly inadequate to describe the devastation wrought upon the old converted church by the fire that had started there in the early hours of that morning. Just before dawn. Just before... what? Sonny Flannery stood in a shadowed doorway across the street from the ruination and struggled desperately to remember. He knew that he had been inside the Avalon in the moments before it had been consumed by fire. Holed up, waiting for morning, held under siege by malevolent fae. And he knew that there had been fighting. Vicious green maidens and their leprechaun brothers. Sonny and his friends had been short on odds, and then something had happened. Something bad. And for the life of him, Sonny couldn't remember what that was.